AD2AIT listening. KA2 VLA, KD2AIT, copy clip. KA2 VLA, this is KD2AIT. Well, he's probably watching the Red Sox game. I know it's, I was listening here on the radio before the net. It's a close one, 2-run score. But I'll give him another shot out here, and if he doesn't answer back, then I'll pick up the net. So, KA2 VLA, this is KD2AIT, copy clip. One more shot. KA2 VLA, do you copy? This is KD2 AIT. Alright, good evening. This is KD2 AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Jeff. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater on frequency 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times and can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? Okay, this is KD2AIT. I'm up at camp, and the temperature here is currently 46 degrees. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
This is WATU. Good evening.
Hi, Jeff. This is AC2WI. Okay, there's three right off the bat. I guess Clint must be watching the game there tonight. I have to excuse him. We're getting right down to the playoffs here, so we're trying to get into the playoffs, I should say. All right, we'll start over here with WA2U. John, good evening. What's going on tonight?
Shopping today helped out the local economy. I'll keep it short. You're probably watching the game up there. Thanks for the special effort to keep the things going. So I know everyone appreciates it. So it'll be a cool day this evening, but I'm not complaining. You can always get warm, but you know, it's hard to think a few days ago how hot it was. WATU, back to that. Hope everyone has a great weekend.
Okay, John. Yeah, it's no problem. I have it here on the radio in the background. I can kind of hear it if something important happens up here at camp. I don't have any kind of TV, although I do have a DVD player up here for when I get really bored, if it's raining out or something, a portable one I can pop on and watch a movie if I want to. But for the most part, it's I don't really have much for a TV up here. But all right, thanks for checking in. Yeah, it is cool, and I'm not really complaining. I'm up here going to do some bear hunting here this weekend, and well, until early bear season's over. I'm not that optimistic. It's like you said, it's been so warm lately. The bears aren't really moving around, from what I understand. But it'll be fun to at least get out in the woods and scout around a bit. Thanks for checking in there, John, and we'll catch up with you later. K2ZNZ, Jack. Good evening. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Jeff, John, Pete. Anybody listening on the side? Yeah, well, it was a cool day, and I didn't mind it a bit, actually. It kind of dreary day, though, and like today it's been light rain on and off almost all evening long, but no storms or anything like that. In fact, hardly measurable. And let's see, we're at about 49.8, I guess we could call it 50 degrees right at the moment. It's supposed to go down to 42, so we'll see what happens. And of course, I don't care for the heat that we had earlier this week either. So, 7-3's all around. KA2000's at back to you, Jeff.
Well, Jack, you must be happy with the with tonight's game and the entire season there.
Oh, you mean somebody told you I was a Red Sox fan, huh?
Yeah, you told me last year when they weren't doing so good. And then you abruptly stopped talking about it.
Yeah, I don't usually mention it because, you know, I don't want to offend other people either. Everybody has their choices. Yeah, but this has been a surprising season. I never never thought they'd come together like they did, but this new manager, I guess, has a real knack, and he's a very well-liked individual, so he seems to be getting the results. Okay, to the end of that.
Yeah, I thought in the beginning of the season they had a good chance of doing good, but then I thought halfway through there when they started losing their pitching, I really thought they were going to bottom out, and you must hand it to the manager there because they did great. Matter of fact, they excelled even when their pitching was hurting there for a while. But, it's still a long way to go tonight. The Yanks are fighting for a playoff spot, and I got to admit, I didn't think they were going to hang around this long, but they've been fighting back through a ton of injuries, and we'll see. All right, Jack, thanks for checking in, and we're getting occasionally we get a misty rain here. Nothing even loud enough to make a noise on the roof here, but it is cool. We took a hike out here earlier today after we got up here, and it was chilly. So I got a shower up here now at camp, but it's outside, and so the water was hot. It wasn't the warmest experience in the world. I got to admit that. But all right, Jack, thanks for checking in. We'll catch up with you later. KC2WI, Pete, good evening. What's up?
KC2WI, 49 degrees here. High was only 55, and it's been raining. It's been sort of misty, off and on, and I went out about 5-something and went in the Lowellville and went to the store and picked up a computer and then went to another store on the way home, and sometimes it was relatively dry, and sometimes it was a definite sort of mist in the air, and that's the way it's been. And supposedly it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. I'm going to head up to Kring Point State Park, northeast of Alex Bay. This is the weekend of the... It's gotten to be a very big ham picnic up there. There's a whole bunch of people up there that have been there camping for some number of days. Tom, KC8QGJ, is sort of the leader of the thing, and there'll probably be 100 people, 50 to 100 people, maybe not all at the same time, but there'll be a good 50 hams probably there tomorrow afternoon and evening. I'd say there's 20 or 30 maybe that either camp there or stay in some hotel nearby and come over, maybe more than that even. And big group from Canada, the 3730 group, I think it is, they meet on that frequency, and we sit around and have a big, anything you might like to eat kind of the deal, all kinds of good food gets cooked up, and then sit around the big fire and yak until whatever time, and it's a lot of fun, and except for the fact that it's going to be a little on the cool side. It should be a nice day, and looks of the weather forecast for tomorrow, last I looked for there, is basically 0% chance of precipitation and sunny, and a high of maybe somewhere around 60 to 65, depending on what you look at. So something's got to happen between tonight and tomorrow morning, I think, for it to be clear and sunny. But apparently, that's the plan. And you were at camp, so you probably didn't get my last email there about the VPN stuff. Boy, I'll tell you.
You timed out there. You're talking about the VPN. You just started talking about the VPN. I did reply to you on that. I don't know if you ever got the reply, but I didn't get your email if you sent one today. I got out kind of early today, but did you try setting the server as a DMZ host?
Yeah, I did that early on, and it sort of worked, but if you read the literature, it says that I was able to connect, and if I go and specify the the share by using the actual, you know, IP address, I can get to it. But the thing that I've never been able to get to work yet is having it show up like, you know, normally you connect a few computers together and you have some shared folders or drives or whatever, and all those shared resources will show up in network places. It just doesn't do it. And I've never quite really understood the total interconnection or interdependence, but there's the NetBIOS, and there's Win servers, and there's the computer browser service, and then there's one of the suggestions, well, install NetBUI, but that's not really a currently supported protocol. And then other things say, well, some routers don't pass broadcast on UDP port 137, so it won't work. It's really unclear. I can get it to do what I want it to do, but I'd surely like to know the details. You know, Microsoft makes it out as if, oh, you just go to, you know, click here in a control panel and set up an incoming connection, and then you can connect to it, and it's just like your regular network. Well, it's not. But anyway, it works. So I just sent you an email with some of the interesting quirky information that I've sort of found out so far in getting into the nitty-gritty detail. But the other thing, speaking of non-documentation, that's typical Windows, I think it's typical lots of programs, is I've got a Windows 7 computer, just won't start. And you run startup repair runs, and it says startup repair, failed, and then it gives you a list of basically code problem codes. And why do they bother giving you a list of product codes, error codes, when they don't publish a list of what those codes mean? You know, why bother even displaying them? I don't get it. You'd think whoever programmed the thing went to the trouble of putting that out, they could publish the list of what the numbers mean, but there is no such list. Anyway, I tried all the usual fixes on that one and some of the not so usual ones, and I guess it's just going to get reloaded. KC2WI. Well, good luck with it.
He said UDP 137. Boy, that strikes a chord somewhere in my memory here from a while back. You know, you might want to check with your ISP. I know that for a while there was a virus going around that. I don't know if that was the port they were using. For some reason, a lot of ISPs shut down a certain port there, and we just wouldn't allow any traffic going through it because a lot of people were being hacked. I thought it was a NetBUI port, but I don't know, I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've had to deal with anything like that. But you might want to check. I guess the easiest way to check is to, you know, open up some sort of program on that port, you know, without the VPN running. You know, there's got to be a way, you know, there's got to be software out there. You can just say open this port to all communications and then see if you can ping it from the other side. I would Google it if I was you, and just see if your ISP is shutting it down for some specific reason. And I also remember, because I remember that happening to me when I was down in Optum Online, when I lived downstate, and I actually had to call up the Network Operations Center, the NOC, and just say, could you please open that for my static, you know, connection, or for my connection, and they did. But it's something to think about. Anyway, I'll check your email out when I get home. I'm going to be up here for about 3 days, and I'm trying to get as much of hunting in as I can. All right. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for checking in, and we'll catch up with you later. This is KD2AIT, Net Control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Looking for check-ins.
KC2NBU.
WB2RUQ.
Okay, there's two more. All right, we'll start with KC2MBU. Ray, I was thinking about you here today. My uncle sent me up another box of some of them LEDs there, and I've been tinkering around with them up here at camp. He sent me one badge that has their red red lights, and he said when he uses them, he lives down Alabama there. He says when he uses those, they don't attract the bugs. And he said, so I said, well, it's the wrong time of year to try that out up here, but next year I'm going to hook up a string of them outside the door. Instead of the other light I got out right outside the door attracts a lot of moss and flies and stuff, so every time you open the door, you get a bunch of bugs into the can. But I set up a string up here, and these ones, instead of having the two lights, they're a little newer. I'd say they probably look like they're about 3 or 4 years newer than that one batch I gave you there, and boy, they're bright, and they're not even, they don't even turn, they don't even touch the voltage there on the meter. So what's going on with you tonight, Ray?
Well, we got 47 degrees up on the hill here, and it's dropping. I processed over 100 gallons of veggie fuel yesterday while we still had some warm temperatures. Bugs see heat. They see infrared. So a light bulb that puts out more heat is going to be more attractive to them than a light bulb that does not. So you might try the LEDs on the outside. Again, you put them away from the door. You put them, you don't put the light right by the door. Your LEDs should attract less bugs than an incandescent or even a fluorescent that generates heat.
Roger. I'm going to save most of that stuff for when I'm up here in the wintertime. There's not a lot to do outside, so I'm saving that for wintertime. But you can't really attach a lot to the yurt. You know, most of it's fabric. You don't want to drive anything through the fabric, so you don't have a lot of selection on where to mount lights. And, you know, you put it right by the door because there's wood there. The rest of it's fabric. But I am working. I got to get some 9-volt, I don't know what you call them, terminals, I guess, for the batteries. And because I've run the 9-volt, I run 9 volts through them on the outhouse there. And that one little battery lasted the whole year. In fact, I think the battery probably just went dead from being out in the outhouse more than just being used. It was just out in the elements. So I think I'm going to hook up a couple lights outside running through 9-volt batteries, or either that or figure out a way where I can run a couple of them and a couple batteries of different voltages in series and come up to 12 volts. But that's, like I said, that's something I'm going to do up here in the wintertime when I snowshoe in and I want to tinker around with the project. But anything else going on there, Ray?
No, just a suggestion. I'll tell you something I use on a regular basis is clear 100% silicone bathtub caulk, basically, or window sealant. And you can, I use it as an adhesive to stick car kits to dashboards, even radio mounts where you don't want to drill holes in the dashboard. And then when you're, if you do have to remove it, you just give it a twist and you rub it with your thumb, and generally you can get it all off and leave no permanent marks or damage or holes or whatever. But you might want to try that. You wouldn't have to puncture anything, and it's waterproof, and it's removable also at a later date.
Roger, I never thought of that. That's not a bad idea. And they do have a scrap piece of the side wall. They give you the, when you get, it comes in two pieces. You get the roof and the sidewall, and each comes in a separate bag, but the bag itself is made out of the same material, so you can use it for patching should you get a hole in the hole in it later. So I could try that and see if it, you know, it shouldn't adversely affect the fabric, but at least I could try it first and see how that works. It's not a bad idea at all. But I'm not sure how well these LEDs will work in the elements. That's the other thing I'm thinking about. So one thing I was considering is maybe putting it under the railings on the stairs that come into the camp, you know, underneath. So, I mean, they can be outside to a certain degree, but I don't know if they can be exposed directly to the elements.
Yeah, you can always put them in a piece of neoprene tubing. The hardware store sells the stuff. put the whole strip in a piece of neoprene.
That's another good idea. Thanks. And every, yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I even have a tube of that, a roll of it here, laying around from one of my early earlier tries of getting a shower in here. So that's not a bad idea. All right. Thanks, Ray. And I'll let you know what I come up with on that. You have a good evening, and we'll catch up with you later. WB2RUQ, my father there, John, and Echo Inc. down the Hudson Valley. What's going on tonight?
Yeah, KE2AIT, WB2RUQ, here in the former home of the late Henry Hudson. Not much. It's currently 60 degrees. It's going to get cool tonight, not as cool as you guys, but still cool. Dave is kind of overcast. Sam's home for the weekend. And what else? Yeah, we're running around doing odds and ends. Went to Maybrook, had dinner tonight. Oh, by the way, did Kavanaugh come up for the weekend? I know you're up there. It's the bear season started. And that's about it. There's, you know, not too much going on. I'll send you a note or a message later on Facebook. Give you the status for the next couple weeks coming up. All right, back to you, KD2AIT. This is WB2RUQ.
Negative on Kavanaugh coming up. He called me there on Thursday. He's still working on the soffit there on the roof, and I guess the house isn't as square as it used to be, and each one's going to require an individual cut. So he's got his work cut out for him. So, yeah, I'll probably catch him next time around. Besides, he didn't get his license last year, so he doesn't qualify for the early bear anyway. The early bear season, as far as I've read up on it anyway, on the DEC website, is for people who did not fill out their bear tag the year before and still possess their license from the year before. You actually use that for the first part of the bear season anyway, and then it doesn't, your new bear tag doesn't start until the next bear season, which is basically deer season. So he wouldn't have been legal anyway. But I was hoping he'd come out for a little while. I know he wanted to do some hiking around, but that's all right. He finds his way up here often enough, so he'll be up soon enough. All right. Thanks for checking in, and I'll check my Facebook status there later. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins. Okay, well, for myself, not much to report. We got up early today and got a bunch of stuff together there. Went down and visited WA2OFK and his wife there, and they seem to be doing well today. And then we headed up here to camp. It's been chilly. Matter of fact, even when I first got here today, I got the fire going in the wood stove. Not that it needed it right at the beginning of the day, but I wanted to get the coal started so I didn't have to fight with it later. But right now I've been putting a log in there about once an hour just to keep it comfortable here in the camp. And but it's chilly. It's windy out. Right now the temperature is now down to 45. They're predicting it could get down into the 30s tonight, but that's not that big of a deal in here. But it's cool enough. It's reminding you of the summer is over and fall is on its way. So that's about it to report here. This is KD2AIT. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins?
KC2WI.
Go ahead, Pete.
One thing, reminder that the Boonville Radio Club meeting is Tuesday night. I won't be there because I have a emergency response meeting in Lowellville, and I don't think that'll be over early enough to get to Boonville. And the Town and Country is, I think, October 6th, Sunday, the run. And one comment on the routers and stuff. What I'm going to do The thing's kind of on hold because the people think they might have the business sold, and so they're not going to do anything, but they figure that they say that the people that they think are going to buy it will probably have, you know, they've got money and they'll want to, you know, do something. But I think what I'm going to do to simulate this, I'm going to take on my own network, I'm going to take two computers. I'm going to take one computer, the server, we'll call it the server, and plug it in to a router, and then plug that router, the WAN port of that router, into my network, you know. So the internet will be out of the picture, but there will still be a router between the two computers, so I can still set that up, but everything I have is under my control, and see what happens then. You know, and go from there. So I'm gonna, if I get the chance, I'm gonna do a little experimenting that way. From, you know, with my just the routers that I know are in between on normally on both ends. You know, there's always cable router, DSL router, or something. And see what happens there. See if I can get that to work. And then that will kind of. You know, you got to have one router in between, otherwise there's no point in a VPN. But if you can make it work and figure out what Windows needs to do the browser, I guess the computer browser function. You know, something to try. Anyway, let you know how it works. KC2WI.
Yeah, that should work. That's just using your router as a switch. That should work. I don't think you'll have any problem doing that. All right, good luck with it. KD2AIT, are there any other comments, queries, or late check-ins? This will be the final call for the Black River Valley Service Net. This is KD2AIT. Okay, hearing nobody else, I'll now close the Black River Valley Service Net. Return this frequency to regular amateur use. I'd like to thank John, Jack, Pete, Ray, and John for checking in tonight, and say 73 is anyone who's listening in. This is KD2AIT clear. KD2AIT standing by and listening.
KD2WI.
Yeah, I had to jump over there. I tried to check into the Central New York traffic net while I'm up here, and I wanted to catch it before they signed off. Anything else going on there, Pete?
No, not really. Playing around with a geocaching site there and downloading some waypoints for along my route and up around Spring Point. But not too much. Like I said, I think what I'm going to do is just take two computers and just put one router between them, you know. I don't know. I guess you could do a VPN on the same network, but I don't think you'd know what you were getting, you know. You'd already have the network, so it'd be, like, redundant. But I'm just going to take a router and hook it into my existing, you know, router, one of the LAN ports in the existing network, and it'll be like a double NAT. So the computer on the WAN side of the second router will be isolated, and then I will use a VPN. I'll set up a VPN on that computer, incoming connection, and I'll still have to do the port forwarding, you know, that kind of stuff. And see what ports I have to forward. Do I only have to forward at port 1723, or do I have to do port, I've read the other numbers, port 50, and then they say that UDP 137 and 138. But then if you read the Microsoft documentation, it says we don't recommend forwarding those ports because it could be extra traffic, something, I don't know. So it's really, there's all kinds of conflicting information about what you got to do to make it work fully. But, you know, to be sort of transparent to the user. But in my case, all I want to do is I want to be able to get them to get to
the shared folder for their QuickBooks data. So all I got to do is map that to a drive, and they don't have to know. You know, it doesn't have to, you know, things don't have to show up in the network neighborhood and that stuff. But anyway, it's one of those experiments, you know, that good academic exercise, whether you ever do it or not.
Well, the reason why I thought it'd be a good idea just to do it all on one router first is get everything on the same network first, get it working, because you know there's nothing standing between you and the other computer. So then you can make sure you got it working the way it's, you know, it should, with no other, no middleman causing interference, and then break it down to, you know, going from maybe one router, you know, hooking up between two routers, and then seeing if you can still make the network. And then if you can do that, and then if you're just trying to do it between two ISPs, then you know if there's all of a sudden there's a problem, then it's probably some port being blocked along the way. But if all you really want to do is share a QuickBooks a file, I would just suggest using something like Dropbox.
Well, the reason why I think I have to put at least one router between the two is because otherwise, if you take two computers and you hook them together with a hub or a switch or something, and you've got stuff shared, you know, you got a shared folder on one or the other or both, whatever. Well, that you know, that's the normal thing, and it's going to show up. You've got the computer A and computer B, and the computer A you share really, you know, my documents. When you go to computer B and you look in the network places, it's going to show that shared folder on computer A. So you could also set up a VPN, which is basically redundant. But you already have the connectivity you need. You gotta do something that sort of does that, you know, appears to at least be tunneling from network A to network B somehow. Otherwise, what you're looking to do, you can do without any VPN, as long as they're two computers. I mean, all you need to do is have a crossover cable between the two computers, and that'll work. You know what I'm saying?
Roger, I'm just saying, start the easiest way that it can never go wrong, and then step down until you get to where you are now, and then you should be able to figure out, you know, it just helps you troubleshoot it. But like I said, if you're just sharing one file, something like Dropbox, which is free, you know, that could solve your problems right there.
I don't think that would work with QuickBooks, because, in other words, I think with QuickBooks, if you have just one computer, you know, you set up QuickBooks on. If you have two computers, and you want to, you know, let's say you've got a business where you've got two point-of-sale terminals that you're using QuickBooks point-of-sale on. One of them becomes the quote-unquote server, and the other one is the client. But QuickBooks has to be running. In other words, I don't think what you could do is have, let's say, two computers on the counter which are point-of-sale terminals, and you have QuickBooks running on both of those, but then you just take the QuickBooks company data file and put it someplace on a third computer. In other words, I think QuickBooks has to be running on the computer that's the server. It can't just be a file stored, let's say, on your external hard drive, where QuickBooks isn't, I suspect. So I don't think it would work in that case with Dropbox. I don't think Dropbox works that way. You know what I'm saying?
I just thought you were sharing the QuickBooks file, because I believe I've only worked with the the version that runs on your PC. I've only worked with that in a limited fashion. But I believe it creates a lock file, so when somebody's in it, you know, you can't share the file while somebody's using it. But I don't, maybe you're using something different than what I'm used to.
Well, I think the analogy is you've got some database, let's say it's a SQL database. Unlike a simple file, you've got to have the SQL server running to share that database, you know, for different clients to access it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Roger, then you only have to worry about the ports to the server. You shouldn't have to worry about a VPN necessarily. You just need to be able to access the server through whatever ports you access it through.
Yeah, but, well, right, but the you have to have it, you got to have a VPN because one of the, let's say one of the business locations is in Louisville and the other one's in Boonville. That's the point, you know. Yeah, if it was just, if you had, you know, if it's in the same place, no. But the, my application is I got a business that's got two locations, and they had it set up, I guess, at one time, and something failed. They had a machine that was acting as a server. I don't know exactly why. And now what they're doing, basically, is in the one place, they can enter data into QuickBooks when they make a sale. In the other place, they got to write up a paper slip, and then somebody's got to spend hours typing it into QuickBooks when they're at the other place, or by a non-network kind of thing like PC Anywhere, or I think it's Go to My PC that they're using, but that only allows you to remote into a computer somewhere else. It's not like a really a network thing. So they really like doing double work, which of course they want to get out of, and or whether they keep it or whether the new owners are certainly going to want to do that. So you have to have real time, a virtual network between the two places that are, you know, 40 miles apart or whatever.
Well, if one computer is a server, all the other computers are clients. Clients should be able to access the server over TCP/IP. I still don't understand why you need the virtual private network to connect to the server. I mean, you should just need their IP address. The server should just have a static IP. And you should just be able to connect and authenticate through, you know, through TCP/IP. Now, if you're sharing a file, then I understand the point of having the VPN.
I think I know what you're saying, but you know, it depends on what you're calling the server. You know, are we talking about like a you know, big time server, a remote access server, directly connected to the internet, so to speak, you know, through some ISP, or you know what I'm saying? If you're setting up a true server that has all the that functionality and the appropriate security and all that kind of stuff, you know, like a web server, well, yeah, but I think that would be much harder and more expensive than just a VPN directly between computer A and, well, let's just say Louisville, and computer B and Boonville, that are both sitting on, you know, Frontier DSL connections, which are behind both the DSL modems, and then probably the DSL modem is connected to a router, you know, a customer-owned router on each end, and in each location there's two or three computers on the local area network. So, I mean, the way I usually do that, I do that here, and I do that at my dad's, is I just set, in my case, it's Roadrunner, so I don't have to worry about it in the DSL end. You just take the Frontier thing and you tell it to, you put the, you know, your router in on the WAN IP address of your router, you know, that's the DMZ, and then you do all the configuration in your own router with port forwarding and whatever. But I think I see where you're going, but I'm not exactly following your, you know, your, what you're suggesting.
Well, sorry, the Red Sox just hit a grand slam. Basically, I mean, all I'm saying is if one computer is acting as a server, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a big server. It could just be a little PC. It doesn't matter. It just depends on the setup on it. If one computer is accepting connections from other computers, then it's just a matter of TCP/IP and opening up the proper ports. There's really not much more to it than that. But if they're all just, if they're sharing a file and you want to just share the file itself, well, I mean, I don't see any other reason why you can't do it on a Dropbox. I don't know. I'd have to see it. You know, like I said, I haven't played around with QuickBooks, you know, the physical version. I have QuickBooks that I use in the cloud, which is, you know, you don't have to worry about installing software or anything. You just do it online. It's a lot easier. That might be something else to recommend, too. I don't know. But it sounds like an interesting project anyway. Well, that is an interesting thought. Is they could be not using QuickBooks. They could be using the network. We'll call it the network QuickBooks, but QuickBooks in the cloud. I don't know. I kind of like the idea that I have it on my computer, and if Frontier screws up today, I can still use my cash register. You know what I'm saying?
Roger. Yeah, I understand that, especially with Frontier.
So in this case, well, if their network connection at one of the two places screwed up, they'd at least be able to operate at wherever the main computer that we'll call it the server is, and then they would have to resort to manually, entering the data. Once the connection got fixed, or in worst case, if it was out for a long time, physically go into the other location. But the thing I don't know is, let's say that I take these two locations and I ask Frontier to you pay Frontier for a static IP at both places. To make it simple, and so then you've got from the internet you have a static IP address, and then you still have to go and do whatever port forwarding to whatever particular machines on your local area network for access. But if you're sending data across through that, you got to encrypt that data. Otherwise, it's unencrypted data floating around the internet. So the VPN does that for you. It encapsulates your data and tunnels it through the public network.
Well, the encryption is usually handled between the client and the server. I mean, they can use SSL or the VPN. Yeah, they're using encryption too. But I mean, I'm assuming that if QuickBooks is using a client-server model, they're using some sort of encryption that both the client and the server understand.
I wouldn't assume that, because the way you set up QuickBooks, you've got a office or store, whatever it is, and you've got three computers, three people that are using QuickBooks. The owner and the accountant and the, inventory control person, or if you're using it for point of sale, you got the front counter and the back office or whatever it is. You choose one computer to be the QuickBooks server. You install QuickBooks on it. You set up a company database and put it wherever you want on that computer. I usually like to put it someplace that's pretty obvious. And in a folder that's labeled QuickBooks Company Data or something, you share that folder. And then on all the other computers,
when you set up QuickBooks, you install QuickBooks and you say, this is where the data is located, and it's just going to a file, going to the file on the other computer. And you tell QuickBooks that you're operating in the multi-user mode, so I guess what that means is that you can do it the other way. Like if the accountant goes in there and wants to, needs to do something and can't have any changes being made while they're doing it, then they open QuickBooks in single user mode and it locks everybody else out. But for normal operation, you have, you know, all the various users can use it, and of course they have privileges based on whether they're just a sales clerk or, you know, the accountant or the business owner. So I don't know. I never did try it. Let's say I have QuickBooks on A and QuickBooks on B, but I have the company data file on C. Maybe that does work. I'm not sure. And maybe it worked in older versions of QuickBooks, and then they changed it. You know, sometimes they change how they use the database. So I guess I'm not absolutely certain that it couldn't be done that way. But it seems to me if you're just sharing. There's no encryption on your own local network. If I have a shared folder, and the packets flying across the network aren't encrypted unless I make it so, as far as I understand the way it works.
KA2,
go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind, make a quick call. Yeah, get out of your way. KA2 for Acton. Looking for any stations that would like to check in. We're in our traffic. Stations, come now, please.
KD2AIT, good evening, Jack. No traffic. And KC2WI, no traffic.
Okay, very good. KD2AIT, hello again, Jeff. And KC2WI, hello again, Pete. Thank you both for checking in. Anyone else?
This is N2WBX. Good evening, no traffic.
KC2NBO, good evening, no traffic.
Okay, very good. N2WBX, hello Dennis. And KC2NBU, hello Ray. Thank you both for checking, thank you all for checking in. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, thank you for letting me go through. Much appreciated, guys. And thanks for the check-in. 73s, have a good evening, have a great weekend. KA2NBO.
KD2AIT for ID. Yeah, you're gonna have to take her out of that. I'm trying to think about if the Dropbox is gonna work with that or not. Now, I'm just thinking it through. I don't think that would work. Just because I think it, because with the Dropbox you have the identical copy on each of your local drives, basically, and when you make a change, it forwards that copy to the next drive on the other. And a network, so you're not, I mean, I guess you're not technically sharing the file, it's, you know, you're swapping it back and forth, basically, but you're not sharing it. It's almost like you have your own separate copies, and you're just merging, you know, you're taking your copy, when you make a change, you send it to the other person, when they make a change, they send it back. It's not like you're both changing the same file, it's two separate files, so that probably wouldn't work. It doesn't sound to me like a client-server situation, because if it was a client server, nobody had access to that file, to that file, except the server. The server would accept the incoming connections, say, what do you want to do to this file, and it would say yes or no, and then commit the changes itself. Only the server would do changes to the actual file. But yeah, I mean, connections, if two programs understand what they're supposed to receive, they can send encrypted data over the network. I mean, somebody may be able to listen to it, but it's all going to be encrypted. They're not going to know what it means. They don't have the public or the private keys, for that matter. So, well, good luck with it, Pete. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting project to delve into. Okay. Yeah, I'm reading the Dropbox details here. Yeah, it's basically, I wonder what happens if I'm offline and you're offline, which it says you can do,
what happens if we both modify the file? I'm assuming that if you go to your Dropbox folder on your computer, it says adding files to your Dropbox folder will automatically sync the file to your Dropbox, which means you can open it from any other computer. But I think it's really not... I think the problem you'd run into with that, if multiple people were using Dropbox, and you know, the same Dropbox folder, and they both tried to do something to the file at the same time, it couldn't work. Dropbox probably is not quite that smart, and it just looks at the file, the timestamp, you know, last modified timestamp on the file, and whichever is the latest one, that's the one it syncs to everybody's folder. Well, it has a copy of the file at the Dropbox service, so whoever gets it there first, it has a, you know, has a versioning system too. So that one comes in first, that's the one it accepts, and say if somebody else comes in, that one will be considered a later version, then it will make another copy. At any time, you can go through and roll back to whatever version you want, if you wanted to, you know. But still, the copy the person's using, had they been offline, is not up to date. So, yeah, it could definitely cause sync issues at some point. Most of the time with Dropbox, you know, you don't generally have multiple people making a lot of edits at once. I use it with some clients when we have, like, password files on Dropbox, and, you know, nobody can read the password file because they would need the special key file and the password. The key files are never changed, swapped on the Dropbox, and passwords are obviously not stored on the Dropbox either, just the encrypted file. So, but very rarely do we ever add or, you know, update passwords on there. Yeah, I think you're going to have to find some sort of network solution on there where they're all using the exact same file in the exact same location. Right. Well, you know, Dropbox, I mean, the name implies that somebody makes a file or modifies a file, something, drops it, you know, and then next person picks it up and does what they want to do with it. So it's kind of a file sharing isn't the right word, but, you know, it's kind of a alternative to emailing the file back and forth kind of thing, you know. So, and it works great for that, but you know, you just have to be a little coordinated. Whereas this is real-time, simultaneous real-time access, just you know, like a normal, like you would do with a database like that, where multiple users can be in it at the same time. I have to say, I just always assumed that the way QuickBooks, when you got a multi-user license, worked was that QuickBooks had to be on the one machine that was the server, but you know, I never really tried it any other way. So maybe as long as you have a multi-user license and